Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jabba, thanks for the call. I appreciate you calling and giving us a few minutes. What's happening?
Yeah, you got it. Nothing. Just hanging out. Just trying to keep up with all the stuff that's going on right now.
It's been a busy last few days for baseball. There's no doubt about it. First off, let me start you off with your former teammate and Derek Jeter getting into the Hall of Fame. Your reaction?
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, just watching, you know, his interview and watching Larry's interview and, you know, just understanding the magnitude of what it is. And, you know, a guy like Derek coming on and saying that he was still had butterflies waiting for that phone call and this, that, and other thing. So, you know, it's always one thing for people to see the aspect of us playing the game, but then to get that human element of that we are still human and we still understand that, you know, this is the 1% that play this game, get in the Hall of Fame, and to see a guy like that, to say he has butterflies is pretty cool. As a fan of the game and as somebody that's fortunate enough to call him a friend and a teammate was really cool to watch.
How would you describe Derek Jeter as a teammate since you're able to play with him?
I mean, I don't know if there's enough words, honestly. I mean, coming into it as a 21-year-old kid in his own realm and then as a 21-year-old kid coming into the clubhouse in Toronto and seeing him sit there and as a baseball fan to not understand, you know, what you're going to get yourself into of being in the clubhouse and trying to help the team win. And then to see a guy like that to be so welcoming and so open arms about anything and just always there for you. I mean, it was an unbelievable player, but as somebody that got the chance to play with him was even a better person than he was a teammate.
Do you remember how that first conversation did go, that first time that you met Derek Jeter?
Yeah, we were stretching in Toronto, and I had known, you know, Phil Hughes and another guys from, you know, just having that year where, you know, he blew out his hamstring in that start against Texas early in the year, and I'd blown out my hamstring in spring training. And being a guy that was my first year not being in spring training, nobody kind of knew who I was, so, you know, we were sitting there stretching, and you kind of pinch yourself, and you're like, holy cow, I'm actually in a stretching circle with these guys. And, you know, just said hello and was just real open arms about anything. And just it was very, very cordial. It was very nonchalant. It was like, hey, welcome. Let's get after it and let's win some games. And it really wasn't more than that. It was just very unexpected and just really – you know, just made me smile to know that a guy of that magnitude can be so cool and just actually be just one of those guys. It was very refreshing.
Jabba Chamberlain here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. He was one vote shy of 100% with unanimous. You knew this question was coming. What do you say to the one voter who elected to keep him off his ballot?
Oh, man, just watching watching the shows and watching everything, and it's like, 397 and he got 396. It's that one vote. And, you know, just being a fan of baseball and being somebody that played and just listening to those guys that have covered the game for so many years, I think they kind of hit the nail on the head. Was just, let's not overshadow what just happened. I mean, two unbelievable baseball players got in, and somebody well-deserving on his last year on the ballot, and Larry Walker getting in. And just, first of all, let's talk about the shirt that he was wearing. That SpongeBob shirt was phenomenal. So, I don't know how many people can pull that off. And just the magnitude of what I don't want it to be overshadowed. And let's call it what it is. He's the highest vote getter of a position player taking over Griffey. So when we look at it from that aspect, I don't want that to overshadow the fact that two gentlemen that are very deserving to get into the Hall of Fame just got in. And it was fun to watch. And are we going to find out who that one voter is? Who knows? But I don't want that to be a part of a conversation when we try to celebrate these guys that just got in.
It's a fair point, but you know it's part of that conversation. And I know that Mariano's the only one to get a unanimous vote into the Hall of Fame. It's just so stupid to me. Like, some years you may say, okay, you leave a guy off because you know he's going to get it and you only get 10 votes. But this year, it was obvious. You know, you knew he was going to get in. I just think it's insanely dumb how someone left him off their ballot.
Yeah, and I just, you look at it and the number of votes that are there, and you've got 10. I mean, was somebody looking at it, and this was presented in a few of the conversations that I've listened to, did they say, you know what, hey, he's going to get in, it doesn't matter, my vote really is not going to sway what happens, and that's the one vote? Yeah, I don't know. And I think you're 100% right. I think there's an aspect in the conversation that's definitely going to be brought up. It's not going to be not talked about because it's one vote. It's not, you know, five or six and this, that, and other thing. I think that's going to be a conversation, but I don't want it to overshadow the fact that two gentlemen got in that are very well deserving. And obviously there's talks of the other guys that were on the ballot that are very deserving of it too. But, you know, just let's celebrate the fact that these two gentlemen got in. And I guess if that one vote comes out, I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, someone's got some splaining to do. That's all I'll say about that. Hey, when Mariano got in last year at 100%, what did that mean to you, and what's the biggest lesson that you took away from Mariano Rivera-Jabba?
I think it's just, I mean, both of those guys, you would never know if Mo blew a save, and you would never know if Derek just blew the game or he had a game-winning hit. I mean, it was just, they went about their business. They were guys that were there to lean on when you wanted to. And those were guys where, you know, it was a teaching lesson and you didn't even really know it. They would come talk to you and it would just be a casual conversation. And then you would just kind of stop when they left and you're like, holy cow, I just got taken to school and I didn't even know it. And I think that's the biggest thing that I take from both of those gentlemen and just understanding of how professional they were and how good they were for a long time. And just understanding that when they went to work, they went to work. They showed up and, you know, Mo always had those couple saves where everybody would be like, oh, he's done. And then next thing you know, he's still saving 45 plus games and doing what Mo does. And Derek, the same aspect is just going out and how he started his career to everybody and just listening throughout the day of people's first impressions of Derek and certain things. And it's just like he turned himself into something great. And it was just a privilege and an honor to be able to play alongside those guys and to call them teammates and friends.
Jabba Chamberlain here with us on CBS Sports Radio. I'm seeing it now on the MLB Network. Of course, Larry Walker in that legendary SpongeBob SquarePants shirt. And then you see a grown man crying in a moment like that. Definitely something that is okay. And it's awesome to see that raw and authentic and genuine emotion. Now, I remember growing up as a kid, those Louisville Slugger bats were always so big and they have the personalized bats. And I remember getting one, the Larry Walker, Louisville Slugger bat, you know, put it into words. What does that mean to see Larry Walker get in on which was his final year of eligibility? You know, that's always cool to see the rise over the last few years in his voting, you know, process.
Yeah, and you see the percentage of how it goes, and I think there's a lot that goes with it, and I think Larry touched on this on his talk of seeing what it's going to do for the Coors Field mantra of seeing, you know, guys that have played after him, obviously Todd Helton, the things that he's done in his career, and we look at Nolan and the things that he's done already in his career and kind of the Hall of Fame route that he's taking, and I think there was guys that touched on this. I think that kind of takes away that stigma. And obviously everybody's going to look at those numbers. And like I said, Larry touched on this of he's answered that question. At the same time, you still got to put the ball to the bat and still hit it. And, you know, I think that's just going to, you know, kind of hopefully open some eyes and understand that it's still difficult to play this game, no matter where you play it at, no matter what level and no matter what facet that you're doing it at. And, you know, it's just unbelievable to hear a man so humble in his interview and say, you know, he's a five-tool player, but he sits there and said he learned it in the minor leagues. He had to learn it. And as a kid from Canada, they're wearing skates. They're really not playing baseball the entire time. So it's just unbelievable to see a man that was that good to understand where he came from and his roots and all the guys that got into a situation that he's in. And know that he honed his skills in the minor leagues and how important that was to get to where he's at today. And I mean, it's just, I love the fact that, you know, everybody sees these guys as superhuman in the game of baseball, but at the same time, we get to see a grown man wear a SpongeBob shirt and shed tears and just get that phone call and just show the raw emotion of what it is and the heart and soul that they put into every day and the sacrifice that they made being without their family, being on the road and going through those trials and tribulations. And as Derek said too, you know, just being homesick and didn't know if he made the right decision of signing that contract, but yet had that support of his family and people in the minor leagues that got him through those things and put these guys in the position today. I just love seeing that aspect, and I hope other people do too, because they see how good these guys were on the field, but yet when it gets to a point like this, they actually see, you know, that there is the kid in them that still, they still get the butterflies and they still understand the importance and the aspect of what really just happened to them.
Jabba Chamberlain is my guess. Do you want to see Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens get in the Hall of Fame one day, Jabba?
I mean, it's all pushing that way. I mean, everybody's going to have their opinions on it and everybody's value to those. I just think, you know, it was the last, you know, handful of guys that have got over 70%. Like Curt Schilling did, you know, they get in, and, you know, there's always that human element that goes into it of, you know, do I vote or do I not vote? In the same conversation we had earlier, what's that one vote? Where is that person? At the same time, you know, Curt Schilling's numbers speak for themselves, and whether you have a personal deal with him or whatever, it's, you know, the game of baseball is numbers, and you see what these guys have done. I think it's leading in the direction. I mean, obviously, there's been conversations, too. What do we do about Pete Rose? Is that another, you know, topic of conversation where that comes back up and all the things that have happened in baseball? And I just, you know, it's a good time right now. I mean, obviously, the last week's been a little bit stressing and a little bit of those roadblocks that baseball's come to foresee. But I think this is a great time with two great human beings that we can lean towards the good side of baseball and everything that's happened for it.
How do you react to the whole Astros scandal, Jabba Chamberlain?
I mean, it's something that's probably been ongoing for a long time, and a lot of people don't understand it's been a part of the game. It's, you know, the old school fashion of trying to, you know, pick pitches and do certain things like that to get the advantage. And if you're going to tip pitches, we're going to take advantage. I just, you know, there's so many aspects of it as a fan that you think about, and as somebody that's played and dealt with similar situations, it's a tough pill to swallow sometimes, and understanding of how it's affected a lot of people. I think obviously everybody just sees the wins and losses, but there's so much more that goes into it that I think a lot of people don't understand, and just the ripple effect that it has on the game. And I mean, I think that's the biggest just scar for me as somebody that's played the game and somebody that's a fan of it, is just, you know, how the perception now as the casual fan sees baseball and sees this tarnished aspect and conversation that's come up is, I mean, it's a tough pill to swallow, and how do we change it and how do we make it better?
Did you applaud what the commissioner did though? Just wondering, and the punishments to the Astros, and then eventually how baseball reacted, moving on from Luno and A.J. Hinch and Cora, and then the Mets eventually parting ways with Carlos Beltran. Did you think those results and the response was fair?
Yeah, I mean, I think something had to be done. And I think the guys that came out and spoke about it, you know, have valid conversations. And they understand what it is. I mean, when guys like CeCe speak up, you listen. And you understand, you know, how valuable that is of what the things they say. And we've obviously heard and seen the tweets of everybody else. And I think something has to be done. We've got to make it as a baseball family, make it a point to know that, I mean, this game's hard enough. I mean, the greatest in our game, one just got in and he failed 69% of the time. And he's one of the greatest to ever play this game. It's hard. And to know that, I mean, we can watch every pitch, we can watch every at bat with video and everything we have. I mean, it's hard enough. You know, let's put everybody on the same field and do it 60 feet, 6 inches, and let's go to work. If you find something that I'm tipping, then let's go to work. Or you find my signs at second base, and that's what's happened for a long time in this game. But when it goes beyond that, I think we need to put a stop to it and make it a point to know that if you're going to try and do that, they're going to make it a precedent that it's not going to happen. And I think, you know, the commissioner's done a great job of that. And I hopefully we can get behind it and keep moving forward and not have this happen again.
Give me Astros and Yankees in the ALCS this year. I'll sign up for that. That'd be fun, right, Jabba?
Well, I think not only that matchup, but I think there's a lot of other matchups that we haven't heard from a lot of guys that probably want to have some good matchups with the Astros. I mean, obviously, we've seen what Mike Clevinger said, and I think he's probably not the only one that's thinking it. He just happened to be the one that says it. And so, I mean, they're going to have a bullseye on their back for more than one reason. And so we'll see how it plays out. I'm looking forward to it. We're only a few weeks away from spring training with a lot of stuff that's going to happen. And I just hope we can get the boys back on the field, get to some baseball, and try to put this behind us.
Well, hey, Job, I appreciate you out of short notice making some time for us. Always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much and be well.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.